Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for May 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our 2 of 2. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to start out with a question. Who would you call right now if you needed help protecting your rights, huh? Who would you call? I think it's a good, honest, fair question. Uniting to defend their faith, freedom, and future, peoplesrights.org. And I shouldn't say they, because I'm a member and a proud member of peoplesrights.org, by the way. So it isn't they, it's we. We really need to realize, who would you call if you needed help? What would you do? Where would you go? There are answers. peoplesrights.org. The founder of People's Rights, well-known patriot and dear friend Ammon Bundy, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you. Good to be with you. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I know you've been so busy. I haven't really wanted to bug you, but now I kind of feel like we need to spread the word about what's happening. And I think that only one side of the story is being told. I mean, I know you're telling your side, but we got to make sure that people can hear our side of the story, if you will, right?
Yeah, I think it was Mark Twain that said a lie goes around the world twice before the truth even gets its boots on. And so, you know, we have to be patient, and then, you know, people like you start to, you know, hear things up, and then we start to get, you know, the truth out there, because it's really quite a wicked thing that is happening, and it, you know, it's not just exclusive to me.
You're right. It's not just exclusive to you, but sadly, you and I and a few others tend to take the beating. And you know what? We're kind of on the front line, first lines. And what people don't understand is, if they don't do something now, okay, it starts with Sam and Ammon, but it will eventually be them. Understand that being a free people, ladies and gentlemen, requires certain duties and responsibilities that can only be ignored at our own peril. That's really the bottom line and why People's Rights was started, right?
Yeah, absolutely. People's Rights is just that. It's just a network of people, just you and I, communities, you know, coming together and realizing that our governmental system of defense that has worked so well for so many generations, and that we, you know, are can be quite proud of. But the fact is it's deteriorating to the point where the people, families, and, you know, our children, our livelihoods, and even our liberties are now being threatened by them. And that threat is greater coming from them than any other, you know, entity, any other people. And so we have to realize that. And then, but there's, it's the challenge, or the real problem is not only is our governmental system of defense becoming adversarial to us.
Yeah, or predatory.
But predatory. It also leaves us without any defense. You know, so it's twofold. We don't have a defense, or we're losing our defense. We pretty much, I mean, I could argue very simply that we don't have a defense. We just have an illusion that we have an defense. But we not only don't have a defense, but the very system that we built to defend us is actually predatory and adversarial to us.
It's predatory, it's adversarial, and simply put, a few people have made it go rogue. The rest are just like, oh, I'm following orders. But the bottom line is, they've all gone rogue. You can't just claim you're following orders and it's not you that's responsible. They've literally gone rogue is the problem, sir.
Yeah, and but that's what happens. And we have examples of, you know, societies in history, all throughout history, this always happened, where the structure that was built up for the people to secure, you know, their property and their homes and their families and their, you know, lives and their liberty, that, you know, that structure always deteriorates and becomes the very structure that becomes most dangerous to the very people that organized it.
That is the nature of humans on Earth, that's for sure. But it's up to patriots and heroes to stand up before God Almighty and promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. And that's what this whole broadcast is about. Ammon, we know your story is so complicated. There's so many different stories we could tell, but let's just start. I'm going to try to create an entry point to make sense of the latest fiasco that's happening via rogue agents in government. And I want to start the story by saying Ammon was guilty of nothing, had to serve in 2 years in prison, guilty of nothing at the end of the day. The government was the one that the judge said, you know what, these people are rogue. They withheld exculpatory evidence. They literally lied. And look, because of their abuse of the system, we've just got to, you know, call a halt to the case. I don't think any prosecutions of any FBI or any other folks took place like it needed to. Nevertheless, Ammon Bundy, guilty of nothing is the point, sadly had to serve 2 years because criminals, rogue agents, took unconstitutional, immoral action against the Bundy family. Now, the reason I start there is to say, since then, as COVID came along, they kind of started to use this term called trespass. And trespass is kind of a catch-all. We're going to say that you're guilty of something. We're going to say, you know what, you can't trespass. I don't really understand that, because if it's a public place and I'm there and you're there and they don't want Sam there, but they do want Ammon, how is Sam trespassing just because they want to play favorites to Ammon, for instance? Okay, they're playing games with this, and they've used this as a catch-all to just create a dragnet and then pile on charges to anybody they don't like or anybody that opposes their, in my opinion, rogue agenda. Ammon, is that a good starting point?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's hard, again, for people that haven't been caught in it to understand, but, you know, here you are, let's say, at a you know, a school board meeting, and you believe that you have a right to speak, and, you know, you do it respectfully, and you have a point to be made, and those in, on the board, or maybe the superintendent or whatever, does not like or want to hear what you have to say. And so, you know, they have the power, quote unquote, you know, to trespass. So, you know, they'll trespass you because they can, literally just because they can. And then the state will prosecute you with trespassing when it's an absolute violation of your right to free speech, but they will not allow you to argue the Constitution or free speech in the state courts, in the county, you know, these county district courts in, of the state, because they'll say, well, that has nothing to do with the charges. The charges were trespassing, but yet the violation is attack on free speech. And they've just been doing this over and over. They do it, you know, with trespassing. They do it with obstruction of justice. They do it with disturbing the peace. And the police officers and the bureaucrats and the even the elected representatives will just keep using this over and over and over and deteriorating our right to free speech and our right to assemble and our rights to government for redress. And the statutories are being used to strip us of our ability to, you know, to try to correct the matters that we see in government.
The problem that I see here is, and I don't understand how this can pass muster when it comes to law. How do they say Sam trespasses, but say Ammon or the other members of the crowd that are there don't trespass? How does one person of the public trespass? If it's open to the public, it's open to the public. Just because I may say things they don't like and you, you know, hold your nose and keep your mouth shut, you're okay, but I'm not. See, how does this work? I don't really understand legally how that can even be, Ammon.
It doesn't matter. So the prosecutor, you know, basically will claim to the judge that they can they can charge, they have the power to charge and not charge. And that, you know, that they don't have any obligation to charge everybody. They really stand strong on that. So, you know, they can target a person or they can, you know, basically point at a person. And there's a video out there of when I was in the Idaho Capitol building last in August of 2020, when I was arrested for trespassing in the Idaho Capitol building. And there's over 46 officers that came just to arrest me. And when we were in trial, they testified that every officer that was brought on the stand testified that I broke no rules and I was non-disruptive. So then the question has to be asked, well, then why did you trespass him? And there was no answer to that. They just said that we have the power to trespass, and so we trespassed him, and that's why we arrested him, even though he was non-disruptive and he broke no rules. And I'm in a room, the Lincoln Auditorium, that was open till 7 p.m., and they came and open to the public, a public room, open. And they came and arrested me at 7 or at 5 p.m. and trespassed me.
Hang on. Can you skip the break for me? All right. All I'm telling you is is what we've got, this bogus idea. I just dropped the break and skipped it, Ammon. What we've got is this bogus idea of trespass literally being used as a criminal force against the citizenry on the most local level, violating really, if you look at COVID or Ammon or any of these different examples, all five of your First Amendment rights, Ammon, routinely.
Yeah. Well, so like Robert Jones over here in Idaho as well, during COVID, there was a, she was on the board, the Central Health Board here in Idaho. And they were having some meeting and so forth. And, you know, they're all meeting on Zoom. So no one could like demonstrate at the building or wherever they were normally meeting at, because they were all meeting at home. Well, anyhow, he and three other people go to the street by her house, and they never went on her private property, nothing. And they were demonstrating on the street in front of her house, because she was one that was trying to push, was pushing masks on our children in schools. And so they were peacefully demonstrating. There was nothing, you know, no threats, no nothing. It was just peacefully demonstrating on the public street. And the Boise Police Department came and arrested him for disturbing the peace. And then when they had the trial for this, they sentenced him to 6 months in jail. And he did nothing. He was just on the street demonstrating in front of her house, you know, but it was on the public sidewalk, and which is completely within the law, completely correct, the way that, you know, the right to assemble and the right to agree of our government and the right to speech is exercised. And but because they were able to use this infraction, really, the way that they, and charge with it, they actually sentenced him to 6 months in jail, and he served that time away from his family, and now he just recently got home.
Are they calling it criminal trespass? Do they make this criminal, or is it a civil discussion?
No, both. You know, the state will use criminal, and like this case with St. Luke's here, is they're claiming civil trespass. So both.
All right. And so when I was a kid, I used to see, you know, no trespassing signs on people's private property and stuff like that. And you got the understanding that, hey, that was a private issue. Now you got rogue agents in government literally shutting people down for any reason they want to, anywhere you are. They can literally just say, you know what, we're just throwing you in the clink for trespass. There's no due process. Really is the problem as well, right?
Yeah, well, I'll give you again a little bit of example. In my trial in Ada County, I had the two sponsors of the trespass bill, because in 2018 they redid the trespass bill in Idaho, and I had the two sponsors. I knew them, were friendly with them. The two legislatures that sponsored the bill, I had them come and testify in trial for me. And they testified that the trespass bill in Idaho does not authorize the state to trespass a citizen on public property, that it was only for private property, and that the state cannot use the bill for trespassing a citizen on public property. Which makes sense, right? Otherwise, you don't have free speech and all of that. Well, the judge didn't give a damn, and the jury didn't care either. No one cared that the actual legislatures who wrote and sponsored the bill, the trespass bill in Idaho, the actual law that wrote the law, clarified that the state was misusing the law to trespass me from the Capitol building, and no one cared. They just, at least no one cared that was, that had authority. And so it goes to show that no matter what the legislature, does, and no matter how they try to clarify the bill, the bureaucrats and the courts and the police, which is part of the bureaucrats, will misuse it and misinterpret it for their own purposes, political purposes.
And I'm going to say they will intentionally misinterpret it. This is not by mistake or confusion on their part. This is intentional, right?
Well, absolutely. I have the very authors of the bill testifying that it is being misused. And the judge didn't care. The prosecutors didn't care. The police didn't care. And ultimately, the jury didn't even care.
Ladies and gentlemen, look, civil and criminal trespass law is being misused against patriots by rogue thug agents at all levels of government. That's really what's happening, right?
Yeah, and again, I'm emphasizing that it's not just the trespass statutes that are being misused. I think that's the one that's being misused the most. But, you know, you have obstruction of justice being used. They arrested baby Cyrus's mother because she just couldn't let that baby go out of her hands. She was just so terrified and concerned. And so they ripped the baby out of her hands and then arrested her for obstruction of justice and booked her in the Ada County jail, after they took her baby away from her. So obstruction of justice is a big one that they use, disturbing the peace. But, you know, every time the people get a little noisy about what is happening in their government, then they just start arresting using these quite minor charges. And then they drag those people through the courts for the next year, sucking, you know, any time and money they have away. And in the end, they only allow the jury to make the decision of whether the person trespassed or not. They won't let them consider the First Amendment, the right to speak or the right to assemble or the right to grieve government. Those are not allowed. And the jury instructions specifically say, did this person stay on this property without consent from the owner or the owner's agent? And they're claiming that public property belongs to them and not to the people. So therefore, they are the owners or the owner's agent. And therefore, the jury just says, well, it looks like they're trespassing, and they charge and they convict them.
All right. The latest in this situation is protecting the Diego Rodriguez family. They're personal friends of yours, right?
Yeah. I've known them for, you know, several years and good friends with them, and, you know, had no inclination that any of this would happen, because they're just such wonderful people and good family and good parents. And And then this Baby Cyrus thing happened.
All right, so the Baby Cyrus thing happened because, you know what, healthcare is being weaponized against the American people. And when your child or when someone you love seems to have a problem, if the healthcare, I don't know what you want to say, agents get involved, then they want to pretend they're gods in the room. And that's when things go south. We've seen this more since COVID than any other time. This has intentionally been escalated beyond recognition. So Baby Cyrus's mom, caring about her son tremendously, and it all went sideways. How?
Well, Baby Cyrus, when they introduced solid foods to him, he began to throw up, like he wouldn't keep it down. And, you know, it's not too big a deal because they could always rely on nursing to give him the nutrition he needs and all that. They were working with doctors trying to figure out what was going on, you know, and this was a process that was fine because he had a source of nutrition, his mother. But they were trying to figure it out. Well, there was a weekend when he was about 10 months old that he began to vomit because they introduced some new stuff to him, and he became pretty, you know, vomiting quite a bit. And so they were a little afraid that he was dehydrated. They took him to St. Luke's Hospital, you know, hoping that St. Luke's Hospital could just rehydrate him, and then he could go back home. No big deal, right? Well, when they get in there, St. Luke's Hospital weighed him, and he was a couple ounces under what they call the BMI, body mass index. And so the doctor declared him as malnutrition, which if he would have just been rehydrated and nursed, he would have been over the BMI. But you know how the government is, you know, here's a chart. And so therefore, this is where we're at. Well, so they hydrated him, and then the family wanted to leave the hospital, and the doctor threatened that if you leave, she was going to call CPS. So they said, oh, no, don't do that. You know, that's terrifying, of course, to hear that. You know, the baby, even in the medical records, the baby is fine. The doctors, you know, the doctors and nurses have said he's healthy and everything is good. So, you know, there's not a health concern at this point. He's just under the BMI, or was under the BMI when he came in. So anyhow, make a long story short, 2 days later, they discharged him, and they went home. They stayed for 2 days. They're self-pay, so they were forced to pay the doctor that was threatening CPS and St. Luke's that were, you know, actually participating in threatening CPS on them. They got an extra 2 days of hospital, probably a good, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 extra out of them. Anyway, then they go home. Well, the problem is the doctor called CPS anyway and made this report. So CPS starts requiring that the family, the mother and father, take Baby Cyrus in and have him weighed every day. So now she's having to go to doctor's appointments every day, and she does that throughout the week. And it comes around Thursday or Friday. I think it was Friday. And she wakes up, the mother wakes up, and she is not feeling well. So she calls and the facility and says, I'm not feeling well. Can I, you know, change the appointment? But it was on a voicemail is all she got. Can I change the appointment? Anyway, they took that voicemail and issued a bolo out on them with the Meridian police and surrounded them, their vehicle, and began the process of taking Baby Cyrus away.
It went catastrophic. It went insane, ladies and gentlemen. Ammon Bundy with me, peoplesrights.org. I got a heartbreak. We'll take it. Be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. As the national debt crisis looms in America, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the U.S. government could become unable to pay all of its bills on time as soon as June 1st if Congress doesn't raise the debt limit. Should be noted the House did increase the debt limit last week, which is on its way to the Senate, along with cuts to curb overspending. President Biden on Monday invited top Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to meet next week. Speaker of the House, Representative Kevin McCarthy.
No parameters. The only thing I would tell them is no clean debt ceiling is going to pass the House. We can't do that to our children and grandchildren.
Interstate 55 in South Central Illinois was shut down in both directions yesterday after multiple vehicles crashed and piled up, killing many people. It happened during a dust storm that dropped visibility to zero. The Illinois State Police said the initial crash occurred in Montgomery County, about 75 miles north of St. Louis. Oklahoma sheriff's deputies believe they have found the bodies of two teenage girls who had been missing since Sunday, along with other bodies numbering seven in all. 14-year-old Ivy Webster and 16-year-old Brittany Brewer were last seen before 1:30 a.m. local time Monday in Henrietta, about 90 miles east of Oklahoma City. The alert state of the girls were believed to be traveling with 39-year-old Jesse McFadden. Court records indicate McFadden had a trial date in Muskogee County set for yesterday, involving many alleged sexual offenses. McFadden's body was one of those found. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy released an advisory this morning addressing the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. He says in recent years, about one in two adults in America reported experiencing loneliness.
We know when people struggle with loneliness, it impacts their productivity in the workplace. It impacts how children perform in school. It reduces civic engagement, and it contributes to division and polarization.
This is USA News.
Progressive covers pets in our auto policy at no extra charge. Now, let's see what your dog has to say.
As a dog, I think Progressive's auto pet policy is... Oh, what is that? That's just my tail. Weird. Anyway, Progressive protects... There it is again. See? This is why I need protection. I'm so distracted. Nope, that is still my tail.
Progressive Auto Insurance covers pets for up to $1,000 in a car accident at no extra charge. And we think your dog would say that's great, too. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. And right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Ammon Bundy, peoplesrights.org. Ladies and gentlemen, civil and criminal trespass law, along with many other laws, are being literally misused against we the people, the patriots, by rogue agents in government. Being a free people, folks, requires certain duties and responsibilities that can only be ignored at our own peril. We're talking about the Diego Rodriguez family. And basically, they started to monitor the baby's weight every single day. Mom got sick, said, I can't come in today. They escalated this thing out of control. The Diego Rodriguez family reached out to him, to People's Rights and others for help. Right, Ammon?
Yeah, so they, you know, I knew them. I was actually on the phone with the mother while they were taking the baby. It was terrible. If you go to freedomman.org, that's a website that Diego put together. There's a baby Cyrus story, and you could watch the video there. It's it's just so, I don't know, the way that the officers conducted themselves was so calloused and so heartless. And at one point, so they, you know, she wasn't wanting to give them the baby. And so they lied to her and said, well, you can stay with the baby, because that was all her request. You know, I'm his mother. I'm his source of nutrition. Please let me stay with the baby. She's begging them, please. And so they lied to her and said, yeah, we'll let you stay with the baby. Come in the ambulance with us, because they brought an ambulance. And then they said, come in the ambulance and you could go. Well, when they get her in there and the door's closed, Then they start threatening her. And there's an officer that says, you know, give us the baby, give us the baby, or we're going to take the baby from you, and we're going to arrest you. And then at one point he says, well, give us the baby, and then you can go on your merry way with your friends. That's what he says. Friends and family or something. You can go
Have
on your
merry way. You lost your freaking mind?
The mother says, that doesn't sound very merry to me. That she's like on the verge of crying. And then anyway,
she didn't say what Sam Bushman said, right?
They end up ripping the baby out of her hands. And then they arrest her and put her in a squad car and book her in the Ada County Jail. And then, so now this is the other thing, is that they took him to the ambulance to the Meridian St. Luke's Hospital. But there was, I mean, we have all the records now. You know, we have all the discovery. They were never planning on admitting him into the hospital. That was just where they were going to transfer him to foster parents. So this was never a health issue that night. He was never in imminent danger. He was never, you know, there was no sign of abuse, no sign of neglect, no imminent threat to the child's life. None of that was going on, which is all legal requirements for the state to take a child. They were just taking that child away from his rightful, loving, biological, caring parents and giving him to a foster parent. And that's what was happening that night. That's it. And that is solid discovery. There's nothing more than what I said in that. However, because people's rights got involved and we started putting pressure on and had people coming to the hospital, then the foster parents were afraid to take him, and CPS didn't know what to do with him. So then they said, well, let's transfer him. Let's try to hide him and transfer him to the Boise St. Luke's Hospital. And that's why we ended up at Boise St. Luke's the remainder of that week, or the, you know, all that next week.
And then as you were there trying to peacefully advocate for the release of the baby to his mother, they basically started out with trespass, right?
Well, no. So that was that night. So the Friday night at Meridian, I demanded that they give the baby back to his parents. This is when they were going to transfer him to foster parents, right? And because of our presence there, the police came and arrested me for trespassing and took me to the Ada County Jail. I actually saw the mother in the, you know, in one of the holding rooms. I actually saw the mother when I came in.
And so did they call that trespass then? Or that was later?
Yeah, they trespassed me for being on St. Luke's property, you know. And, I mean, at least they have a little bit of legitimacy there. At least, you know, it's, you know, technically private property. But I don't think, you know, if I took a child and I come and brought him to my property, right, if I wrongfully and against the law took a child from somebody else and I brought him to my property, I don't think I should be protected by the private property laws. But St. Luke's does. Now, St. Luke's believes in the city police and all that. They believe that, you know, they could take a child, you know, who's not in imminent danger, who's never been neglected, never been abused, who, you know, is generally a healthy child, very loved and cared. They could just take that child and then hide him in a hospital. When he doesn't, not for medical purposes, just to use him as a place to transfer him to you know, quote unquote, new parents, hide him there. And then when anybody comes and demands that they give the baby back, they just trespass him off the property and arrest him.
So that's where it all started. You basically said, okay, you know, fine, charge me with trespass. Then they escalated from there,
yeah.
Right?
So then, you know, they transferred him to Boise St. Luke's. We actually, People's Rights, had people on the ground. We knew that he was being transferred. We could see that they were, you know, they put him in another ambulance and transferred him to Boise St. Luke's. And none of this was medical purposes. I just want to emphasize that. This is just using the system, using the ambulance, and using the people within our own governmental system to hide this baby from his parents and those who are caring for, you know, about him. But anyway, we found out that, you know, that he was transferred to Boise St. Luke. So then the next morning, and through the night, really, we activated the People's Rights Network, and we had over 400 people in front of the hospital. But remember, I want to emphasize, on the street, legally, you know, not on St. Luke's property, on the street, where we had a legal right to assemble, where we had, you know, a legal right to grieve our government for redress, and where we had a legal right to speak, and had over 400 people. And we maintained that protest all throughout the week. Meanwhile, we were calling out the judge. We were putting pressure on elected representatives, the attorney general, the governor, and anybody else who was involved. And it started to build. We're getting national attention. You know, thousands of people were involved, commenting, concerned. I mean, it's easy to say to hundreds of thousands of people involved. But the People's Rights Network was working, functioning like it's supposed to and like it does when it's used right. And in an unprecedented amount of time, only 6 days, which is a long time for a mother, a grieving mother, we finally got the baby back.
And ladies and gentlemen, you got to ask yourself, without people's rights, without the effort to bring public attention to this, and this is really the point, would they have their baby? Who would you call right now if you needed help protecting your rights, ladies and gentlemen? We're talking about the People's Rights Group uniting to defend their faith, freedom, and future. Peoplesrights.org. Okay, that's the real critical issue. Now, as you guys dug into this further, as they gave you trespass, you guys discovered more facts about this. And now we need to talk about the abusive continued efforts of the, quote, government-subsidized child trafficking rings in Idaho and all over the country, by the way, which really includes the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, CPS, evil social workers, corrupt police agencies and officers, specifically the Meridian Police Department. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The abominable and incompetent folks at the St. Luke's Hospital. I mean, it just goes on and on. But really what we're talking about is a trafficking ring here that got exposed, right?
Yeah, and I want to, you know, I want people to really think about what you're saying here. So first of all, to your question, right, you know, before you went to the trafficking thing, the average, in this condition, the average child is not home with their family until 4 to 6 months. And much times it goes longer than that, and sometimes never. So this was an absolute success to get him home within 6 days. Unbelievable, unprecedented. Now, when it comes to the traffic comment.
Hey, hold on, can you skip the break for me? Go ahead, Ammon. Continue, sir.
Yeah, when it comes to the trafficking comment, some people just go, whoa, wait a minute. How in the world do you even say that? You know, child trafficking? Well, first of all, kidnapping is taking a child from his, you know, guardian or parents unlawfully, illegally. That's kidnapping. And the state has requirements that they have to follow before they can take a child. And one of there has to be proof that there was extreme neglect or extreme abuse, or the child was in imminent danger. So that never happened, not even close. There was never any evidence of that. So they kidnapped the child by law. They kidnapped the child. They did not. It was unlawful, illegal for them to take the child. So that's called kidnapping. Then two is child trafficking, is when a child is kidnapped for money. And so when we claim, oh, the child, you know, there's a child trafficking ring, Well, let me explain this. Every time CPS takes a child from his parents, they get $40,000. Idaho, anyway, gets $40,000 from the federal government. And the hospital gets all of the bills paid by the Department of Health and Welfare or by the federal government. Anything they do to that child, they get paid for it. A lot of money. They bill for it. And so there's this huge incentive for the hospital and CPS, financial incentive for the hospital and CPS, to take custody of a child. And that is a major problem. So I'm not talking conspiratorial when I say, you know, drug or child trafficking or kidnapping. It's just factual. They're taking children illegally and getting paid for it. And this is a system that is very dangerous to parents. And it's happening in Utah, just like it's happening in Idaho, it's happening in other states. Because the federal government will immediately pay $40,000 and then more each month. That's the other thing. That's why it's so hard to get a child back within a short period of time. Because each month, CPS, and the foster parents and the hospitals and everybody else gets paid each month for having this baby. And as soon as they go back to their parents, no longer are they paid.
That is the quintessential problem, ladies and gentlemen. And on one hand, you could say, wait a minute, trafficking ring, Sam, aren't you going a little too far? Wait a minute. They had a foster family lined up to take this baby. On what grounds? They took the baby. On what authority, on what grounds? And that's why I'm talking about thugs and rogue government agents, etc. Now, anybody who stands in their way and exposes this, they want to then escalate trespass. So far beyond that, what levels will they go to becomes the next question, Ammon.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, financial incentive is, you know, a huge thing that motivates people. And it motivates bureaucrats because that's how they get their paycheck and grow their bureaucracy and gain more power. Now, I want to, if I can rewind just a little bit, because I want to tell you about what was going on when baby Cyrus was in their care. Because there's this idea among the bureaucrats, among the government employees and the medical and the police, that the state can take care of a baby better than its parents. It's an extremely dangerous thing, but they actually believe that the state can take care of a child, you know, as well as, you know, or close to, or even better in some cases than a parent can. Well, when they took baby Cyrus, again, his only source of nutrition was his mother. And the state, the doctor might have known that, but the state and the police and all of that didn't think that was the case. They, you know, of course, they could take care of this baby as good as his mother. So the first, one of the first things they did once they couldn't transfer him to the foster parents, is give him a bottle. And he took the bottle. And Dr. Rachel Thomas, at the ER in Meridian, we got on a video just kind of ugly talking to the Meridian police officer, one of the Meridian police officers, saying he took a bottle just fine. And she literally says it just like that, like somehow they were the secret to feeding baby Cyrus. Well, as baby Cyrus always did, he took the bottle. Problem was, about an hour later or so, he threw it up. Well, he's being transferred to Boise. He might have been transferred at this point because the nurse's record comes from the Boise hospital, Boise St. Luke's Hospital. And there's a nurse's record that we have, and it says that she came in and the baby was laying in his vomit. And he had been there for some time because we have now pictures of him where his face is burnt from the vomit that they left him laying in. And so they were not able to get food down him and get nutrition in him, just as his parents and his real doctors that were working with his parents knew. So this goes on for some time. So obviously he's not being getting nutrition. And so they start to stick IVs in him. Well, we've got pictures, and when they got him back, he had IV, you know, needle marks all over him and bruises all over his body. So, you know, they probably had a hard time as a baby getting an IV. I get that. But why were they putting an IV in him? And evidently either that didn't work or that wasn't, you know, enough to get the nutrition he needed. So then they put a nasal feeding tube down his throat. Well, the problem with, I mean, and those are very intrusive, painful. You know, there's lots of problems with them, with being, with, you know, getting dirty and getting, you know, certain things on them. And also now they're just feeding the formula and stuff down the tube, and he's still throwing it up. Well, by about, I think it was day three or day four, he now is lethargic. And from what I gather, an ISP officer began to, who was Idaho State Police officer, who was kind of guarding the room and all that, began to advocate that they get the mother in. Now think of all this. They took him, they bottle fed him, he threw it up, he's laying in his vom, he's got burns on his face, they're putting needles in him, IVs, they got a nasal feeding tube down him, and he's not doing well. And the mother is outside. They're doing all of this to try to feed the child, right? Nurse the child. When the mother's literally outside the hospital begging to come in and to feed him. Or even begging to just take her milk and feed him with that. And they won't. They won't allow it. She's crying and begging, and the family and everybody out there is begging. Let the mother come in. Finally, because of an Idaho State Police officer, from what I understand, advocating, they finally get the mother in there, I think on day three or four, and she's able to, you know, nurse him, and that's when they were able to see him and see the burns on his face and the bruises from the needles and him being lethargic and not even almost characteristically unrecognizable. And it was so scary at that point because we were afraid we were going to lose him, that his life was at risk. And ultimately,
so I've got good news and bad news. Go ahead, Evan.
I'm just saying, ultimately, I know I've been going on here, Sam, but ultimately, I believe the hospital had to make a decision. Like, we cannot take care of this child without his mother. There's so much pressure and all of this going on, and finally there's like, you got to give this baby back to his family.
And thank heavens for that. And I've got good news and bad news, ladies and gentlemen. The good news is baby Cyrus at SeaWorld today, I don't know if it's actually today, but in the last couple of days, with his family, doing very well. Now that's exciting, and you got to ask yourself, does people's rights get credited with this? The point is, no one's trying to take credit at all. We're so grateful for this. We all want to play our roles, whatever that may be. For me, it's to spread the word. For Ammon, it's to stand and become guilty of trespass, which then grows into another mammoth issue. So baby Cyrus is free with his mother and father, thank heavens. And at SeaWorld today, finally taking a break from all the stress of this and having a little bit of smiles and sun and good news. Meanwhile, though, Ammon Bundy, though, having a battle of his own over trying to protect the family. Ammon, where do you stand, and what needs to happen next, and what can we do to help? We're running out of time is the problem.
Yeah, that's fine. I want to, you know, emphasize that this baby was not medically in danger until the state took him. He was just fine. They're just working through this cynic vomiting syndrome that he had. But they had to leave Idaho and move to Florida, the family did, because they were so terrified that, you know, Idaho was going to, you know, do something. And they've done just, baby Cyrus has been healthy, happy. You know, they've been working with doctors, and he's growing out of this. And it's, you know, and he's just awesome what's happening over there. But they had to get out of Idaho. And, you know, meanwhile, the state and being pushed by St. Luke's is coming after me. St. Luke sued me for defamation, for speaking the truth and speaking out. But they can use the law that way because they just sued me civilly. And they pushed it all the way to the point where they got a civil arrest warrant for me. And, you know, the sheriff tried to exercise that last Monday, and I wasn't going to let him arrest me. And so we activated People's Rights Network again, and now we bought some time, and we are trying to push this out of the wicked, corrupt Ada County courts into the not-so-wicked, corrupt federal courts, and hoping that we can get a little bit of cover from them and try to argue a First Amendment argument rather than this, you know, civil arrest warrant argument from this Ada County judge, Lynn Norton, who's just allowed St. Luke's to abuse the courts and try to basically destroy Diego and I.
And what we're really talking about here, in my opinion, fellow Americans, is due process. What on earth is there an arrest warrant out on what charges? Okay, you've got to prove defamation and get a conviction before you can start running around and arresting people. Look, they're out of control. Due process is what we're asking the sheriff to afford you, Ammon.
Yeah, so what they're saying is that the judge, St. Luke's talked the judge into putting a gag order on this whole case so I can't speak about it. And so my words here, even on this show, are in violation, quote, of the judge's orders. And so they are saying I keep violating by speaking about the case. I keep violating the court order. And so the judge ordered me to be arrested.
So what we have here is quintessential First Amendment free speech rights, freedom to peacefully assemble rights, a redress of grievance reality. We're talking literally all First Amendment realities here. Does Ammon have that? And do we have due process to discuss this? And are we going to be open and transparent and accountable and follow the law? Or are we just going to have rogue thugs, judges, sheriffs, police officers, and everybody else just simply track us down like we're in Hitler country and just basically abuse us with no due process? No transparency, no accountability on their end whatsoever. Isn't that what it comes down to?
Yes, exactly. They want you and I, if they take a baby or do anything, they want you and I to have to shut up and not say a word about it. Not say a word. And if you do say a word, they're going to use the law to sue you. And then the judge is going to tell you to shut up and sit down and be quiet. And if you don't, then they're going to arrest you and put you in a jail cell so you can't speak out. And those are the very conditions in which the founders found themselves in and why they put the First Amendment first, the right to speech, the right to assemble, the right to redress your government for grievances, to grieve your government for redress. This is the condition that they found themselves in when they were trying to express the abuses and the usurpations of government. And that's why they tried to protect these rights when they had the power to. And that's what
Ammon,
is really
we're flat out of time. We're flat out of time. What I want to do is have you back soon to keep everybody up on this. This is critical, folks. There's never been a greater need for people's rights. .org. That's what I would say. If you don't believe me, just ask the Diego Rodriguez family. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to spread the word about this. We have got to get the American people involved, and we cannot let Big Pharma in bed with hospitals abuse us and have government do their bidding. This has got to stop. Our prayers are with Ammon Bundy and family. We'll do all we can to help the truth prevail. Thank you, Ammon.
Thank you, Sam.
PeoplesRights.org, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a proud member and recommend you become one as well. They say we're dangerous, but only to the criminal cartels. God save the Republic of the United States of America.